God deals pretty much with his children in the same way as parents deal with their children. Sometimes perhaps it is through warning, other times through the rod, or maybe through kindness. But I think the strongest appeal that can be made to any human heart is that of gratitude. There is no appeal that makes any greater impression on the human heart than that response which comes out of thanksgiving and gratitude for something that has been done. Hence, the man of God in the 116th Psalm is such a man who begins to think upon the things that God has done for him. And then out of the gratitude of his heart, he begins to say what he is going to do for God in response for this. I read the story of a farmer who was driving along through his field with the preacher, and he began to speak, and he said, "I have a fine family. I have many possessions. I have a good business in town. I have many, many buildings which I own." And he says, "I've been wanting to talk with you for a long time because I am now 50 years of age, and God has been so good to me in my prosperity that I have been wanting to think about what I could do in return for God's goodness to me." Now, I know that lots of you perhaps have felt like this, as you have at one time or other counted the blessings of God in your life, how that he has prospered you or enabled you through the inherent ability which he has given you in your mind and your skills. Now, what shall I render to God for all of this? Now, of course, there are some people who think they do not owe God anything at all. They are pretty much like animals. Some, I know, you can shake the apples off the tree. They will eat without even looking up. And as long as you shake the apples off, they will continue to eat. But they never think about where these are coming from. And so I wonder if we as individuals do not have something here in common with the psalmist. For Shakespeare once said, "Ingratitude, thou marble-headed fiend, who sharper than a serpent's tooth it is to have a thankless child." He was talking about gratitude. So the question is, we remember our afflictions, we remember our sorrows, we remember every spell of sickness we have ever had, and we have remembered the times of death in which death has visited our homes. But we somehow forget the bright and the shiny days when the sun is shining and things are good with us. I think David had this experience. He handles both sides of the question, as I pointed out. He handles the side of what God has done for him. Then he begins to talk about the side of what he's going to do for God. In the first verse, he says that God has answered his prayers. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. He hath heard my supplication. He hath inclined his ear unto me." There is not a Christian here today who will not testify to the fact that God has heard your prayers. And God has answered your prayers. And God has been pretty much like a mother in the room where it is dark and the baby cries out at night, and she will get up and go and see after the baby. She will hear the baby's cry. You as an individual have prayed unto God. God has heard your prayers. He has inclined his ear. Then in the sixth verse, the man of God begins to talk to himself about the time he was brought low. He says, "The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me." He helped me. In the pathway of life, all of us at one time or other will be brought low. Maybe it's a financial need that we have. Maybe not a nickel in our pockets. Maybe we have a distressing need. And yet through it all, the Lord provides clothes and shelter and food. Perhaps it was a time that you were brought low in sickness. Maybe you were sick unto death and you felt like telling everybody who was standing around goodbye. But somehow the Lord decided to raise you up and to help you. Everyone here has been nearer to death many times than you have ever known. And yet the Lord has been gracious and lifted you up. You have been brought low in sorrow. They are sad words when we hear them at the grave, the last words. But they are even sadder when we come into the home and we feel that it is deserted and the lights have gone out. But the Lord has helped. We have been brought low in sin. The guilt and the pressures upon our souls, the weight of sin upon us. And we have felt like saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Until we came to the cross and the burdens of our sins rolled away. The Lord hath helped me. It is true. And if it is true of this Old Testament saint, that he said, "I was brought low and the Lord helped me," how much more is it true of us today, in this day of enlightenment, since we know that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, has provided so much for us. In the 10th verse, he says, "I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted." Greatly afflicted. Now, this means something like a pond of water or a lake that is drained off. The psalmist is saying, "I was drained dry. I was helpless. I was without hope, and the Lord helped me." So how marvelous that here is a man that the Lord had helped. He was greatly afflicted. And in that 8th verse he says, "For he hath delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling." Here he talks about the marvelous salvation that has been his because of God. It is the same word used for Jesus as deliverer. Jehovah God has become my Savior, is what the man of God is saying here. He has become my Savior. And this is a tremendous idea. I remember reading John Bunyan and his statement, who saw a man on the way to the gallows one day. And John Bunyan wrote down this. He said, "But for the grace of God, there goes John Bunyan." And sometimes I know people are pretty critical today of other individuals, but if you would think a minute, you might even do worse than that man's doing, but for the grace of God. And so John Bunyan said, but for the grace of God, there would I go, right to the gallows as that man. And but for the grace of God, where would we be today? Now, what can he do? How can he express the other side of it? What is he going to do? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? In that 12th verse of 116th Psalm. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? That's your question. That's my question today. What am I going to render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? In preserving my life, in showing his mercies toward me. The first thing that the psalmist says in the 9th verse is, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Here is one thing he's determined to do. He says, while there is breath in my body, and while I'm in the land of the living, I'm going to walk before the Lord. And the idea is this. It is like a mother taking a little baby for his first steps. She puts him down. She gets him on his feet. And he starts off. And she follows along behind him with a hand on each side, guiding him and watching that he will not bump himself too hard. But she guides him in these first steps. And she is there all about him to rescue him from any hard knocks. Now the psalmist said, I am determined to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. While there is life in my body, I'm going to walk before the Lord. The second thing he says I'm going to do is found in verse 13. He said, I'm going to take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. This means that he is not only going to drink of the cup of salvation, but he is going to share it with other people. It is pretty much like the Battle of Fredericksburg, when there were the two armies opposing, and the mighty clash and the mighty struggle, and in between there was a breather, and the sun was hot, and there were men scattered out on the field, wounded, and some dying. And those that were near death were calling for water to drink. There was a sergeant, and he said to Colonel Kershaw's regiment in South Carolina, he turned to the colonel and he said to him, don't you hear those men crying for water? He says, I have a canteen. Let me go over and give it to them. The colonel said to him, if you stand on the breastworks, that would mean instant death for you. You cannot go out and give water to these dying men in the hot sun. And after there on the ground for a few minutes and listening to the cries, he said to the colonel, I just can't stand it. The colonel said to him then, I cannot prevent you from risking your life. He gathered up 4 or 5 other canteens along the line, and then he crawled over the breastworks. 6 or 7 bullets whizzed by. They were not intended to take his life, only to get him back. But soon he was by one of the soldiers and giving him a drink of water. And as he reached the men,
regardless of whether he was dressed in blue or gray, he would lift the head and press the canteen with the fresh water. And as soon as both sides recognized what was happening, the historian says they stood, tossed their caps in the air, and shouted for a man who was willing to risk his life to give a drink of water to a dying man. Now this is something like the psalmist said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits?" He says, "I'm going to drink the cup of salvation, and then I'm going to take this and share it with other men about me. That's what I intend to do." In verse 13 and 17, he says, "I'm going to make fervent prayer unto the Lord." And then he comes back to the question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits?" And in that 14th verse, he says this, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people." He repeats that in the 18th verse. He says, "I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people." He says, "I'm going to pay my vows in the presence of the Lord's people in the sanctuary." God had raised him up. And he says, as a result of that, "I'm going to pay the vows." I have prayed for people, and no doubt you have, for God to raise them up and give them life and give them health again. And then when that experience has passed by, they forget all about the vows they have made unto God, and they never pay them. No doubt sometime in your life you have said, "Oh God, I will be a better person if somehow you will help me through this trial." You have made a vow to God somehow when you were deeply afflicted or low down, and all drained off, as the psalmist expressed it, "If somehow you will help me out of this sin, I will dedicate and make a vow unto you that I will live a different life." But we never get around to doing it. The psalmist said, "I am going to pay my vows. I'm going to the sanctuary. I'm going in the presence of God's people. And I'm going to make sure that this vow I've made will be kept." And then the last thing that he says is something that I think, well, all believers might give attention to in that 19th verse, where he says, "What shall I do for all the benefits that thou hast given me? I will praise the Lord in the secret place, in the private place, in the public place. I am going to praise the Lord, give honor to his name." Today, on this beautiful Lord's Day in Miami, in the Orange Bowl, on this day, this Sunday afternoon, there will be a group of young people who have planned a rally, and they have planned it in the name of decency. And they are going to discuss five great virtues: belief in God, reverence for our homes, love for our country, reverence for sex, and the rights of men. And this great group of young people, started by some high school students, they have gotten the Orange Bowl rent-free for today. And it all started because they were disgusted with a rock and roll party or program concert that was presented in Miami on March the 1st. And now, 23 days later, they said, we're going to have a rally in the name of decency. And here is what the young 17-year-old Mike Laverscu said. He said this, it isn't all the evil in the world that troubles me. It is that so many good people, good men, sit back and do nothing. And I think this is the challenge of the psalmist. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? God wants us to be doing something. Not good for nothing, but good for something. And so this man of God said, I am going to do these things because of the benefits of God to my life. Now the question is up to you. What are you going to do for the benefits that God has manifested to your life? Young person, why not give your life to Jesus Christ? I asked a young boy yesterday, I said, how old are you? And he told me, he said, I have one more year in high school. I said, why don't you open the door and maybe God will call you to preach? Oh, he grinned. He said, I don't know about that. I said, but you know, God needs young people like you. Good, clean young man brought up in a good home. And God does need people. Who will say, for all that he's done for me, I'm going to do thus and so in his blessed name. We're going to sing now our invitation hymn. 230. Number 230. If there is a young person, man or woman here today who is not a Christian, I plead with you to yield your life to Christ and let him have his way in your heart. Or if you are here and would like to make this your church home, we invite you to come and make your decision while we stand.
would call your attention in closing to the opportunities which we have in our church always for you to render something unto the Lord. Our Sunday school teachers and officers will have the privilege this week at the Sunday school supper meeting. And then our wonderful offering and witnessing through home missions, as you see on the map to the left, that we're moving some of the churches over to the proper place. Each church represents $100. And this is our opportunity and our way. And I pray and trust that you have been challenged sufficiently by the Word of God this morning, that you're going to ask yourself, what shall I render unto the Lord for all these benefits? And that you are really going to make some decisions and fulfill them. Our Heavenly Father, guide us today to know that God's grace is simply marvelous, and that but for His grace, where would we be? What would we be doing? Even this hour. Therefore, we pray thy direction be with us. Help us in our holy resolves that we shall fulfill all of these challenges which God's word brings to us. In his name we ask.